yo, welcome. We are here. We are live. It is a late night, depending upon where you are, early morning, depending upon where you are. Shout out to all of the fans watching us around the world. Shout out to the homies in the Netherlands and in London. We appreciate you all. Shout out to all the American homies that are in the audience. And if you would like to participate in today's conversation, feel free to drop a super chat. We are more than willing to talk about what you guys want to talk about. Action-packed day. Hoops and Brews, your boy TPJ. As always, this show stars rapper extraordinaire. Talk to him.
As always, man. Great to be here. Like you said, it was a whole lot happened today. Within the past couple of days, so it should be a fun show. Got a whole bunch of things to talk about today. I'm excited. The playoffs are obviously in full swing. We have gotten some incredible games. Some games that I don't want to say it'll be all time classics, but I do think that we have some games that will be remembered for a very long time.
No, I definitely think that Knicks.
That's one of the best series I've seen in a long time. The Knicks
76ers series has given us about three of the greatest playoff games I've watched, especially in the modern era, at least in the last 15.
For sure. Game one. And then the game that they just played, which both games looked like they was completely over with.
The one before that too was crazy. I don't know if you saw that, but the one before that too was crazy.
I saw it, but it wasn't like these last two though. These last two.
What's up, Chris Kidd? I see you, G.
Nah, hey, no, my knee good now, bro. My knee good. My knee is good. I did have a knee sprain, but my knee's good. I'm back.
Oh, went to the doctor?
Nah, it just healed on its own.
No, you like Lil Durk, you finally healed.
Yeah, it just healed on its own. Like, it was good. I have fire. Full range of motion. I'm back now.
Fire.
That shit definitely hurt.
With what happened today with the Knicks losing in overtime to the 76ers, after the Knicks were up 6 points with under 30 seconds left, you get a foul by Mitchell Robinson on Tyrese Maxey for a four-point play. Then the Knicks can't seem to hit their free throws. Tyrese Maxey gets the ball, runs down the court. I swear, the moment he crossed half court, I said, this is going in.
Yeah, I'm like,
and he pulled that shit clean up with the greatest confidence you've ever seen and swished it. So shout out to Tyrese Maxey, man. I think he established himself this year as a NBA superstar. Like, I'm for real. He has. To me, your playoff. Yes.
No.
I think, he was an all-star this year, right?
Yeah, but superstar, I'm not going that far.
If you could, is Jalen Brunson a superstar to you?
No.
You're wrong.
Superstar? No. He's a really, yes. really good player. Superstar, no.
He's a superstar.
I don't
agree. Tyrese Maxey is a budding superstar. Jalen Brunson, budding superstar.
For I don't know.
Anthony Edwards.
I'm cool with it.
Solidified
a
super.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, but his resume not better than the other two guys. So what are we talking about?
That's not exact. It's about the same.
You're a capper.
No. I think N is a two or three time All Star. If I'm not mistaken, he's a two or three time All Star.
This is his first time making the playoffs.
No, it's not. Second. Second. Remember that the worst series of all time a couple years ago.
Yeah, the one where he was not the man. But okay, I feel you.
Who was the man? It wasn't Cat.
All right.
It wasn't Cat. It was it. But
your opinion.
But
okay,
can the Knicks lose a series? Yes, I think they are in trouble of losing a series. Like, that is a game you were supposed to close that game out. Especially when I watched with the way that the Knicks play basketball is Well, at least in this series, they don't really run offense. Like, today, the whole game was get a ball to Jalen Brunson and see what he does. And when you are playing a game of basketball like that, I think you just need a lot of variables to go your way. Today, they had a lot of variables go their way. Embiid had 10 turnovers. Granted, I don't think Embiid played good, but I don't think he played bad. I think that the 10 turnovers, obviously, some of the passes he was throwing was like, brother, what are you? Why are you throwing full cross-court ducks like that? And he probably actually should have had some more turnovers, especially down the stretch, where the only reason that they weren't turnovers were that the ball just didn't bounce to the Knicks, and somehow they got lucky bouncing and like they got the ball back. But I definitely think the Knicks can lose this series. Like, and then you have to wonder at some point. Granted, obviously, Embiid is dealing with an injury as well, but then you have to wonder at some point for the Knicks, like the minutes that these guys are playing. I think Josh Hart played 52 minutes. OG played 49 minutes. I think Brunson played 55 minutes. These guys are playing a lot of minutes. And then also, when you just look at as far as the top level talent goes, I think the 76ers have the better top level talent. And I think that when you are playing against a team like that, you have to take your opportunities and convert on them when you get them. They didn't do that today, and I definitely think that they could be in trouble of losing the series for sure.
Yeah, I think that the series ended today. I don't think that they're going to go up to Philadelphia and beat them in Philly. And I think that the pressure will be too much. Like the Garden literally looks like it's going to, like,
blow up any second. Erupt.
I'm not going to use that word with anything involving anything in New York, sir.
Erupt.
That's exactly why I used, I paused for that specific reason. He just came in. But yes, at any given moment, that place looks like it's going to erupt. I think the most fun thing about this year's playoffs, and everybody, you know, has been up in arms about the changing of the guard, but I think this is the most excited the fans have been for NBA playoffs in years. Just when you even look at the crowds, like, it looks like college stadium type of atmospheres in those stadiums. Really, really loud. Most people, I mean, are standing for the majority of the game. You can see them with your own eyes on the screen, standing up, watching the whole game. I think New York has really, really caught like a crazy vibe. I think that the Knicks are young, and they have to, and although they have OG was still young when they won that championship. And you have to experience heartbreak. Yeah, but he's still a champion. Can't take that away from him.
No, he was hurt.
No, but he still won a ring as a part of that.
Yes, he was on the team, but
it doesn't. I don't want to hear that. Just shut up. If you look on his resume, it literally say he a champion. What you want me to do about it?
A single playoff stat from that playoffs, but yes, he's a champion.
My whole point is, which that's making my whole point, is that they're young, and they have to experience some heartbreak, before you can become a champion or a great team. And I think that is very evident that Julius Randle is the missing piece for this team. Not only from a rebounding perspective, because you got a 6'4 guy playing the four, but also just from another additional ball handler, someone that can attack the rim, create his own shot, create his own space, he actually can run the point. I mean, you don't want him to, but he can take the ball up the floor and initiate the offense and then get it back. And without a guy like Julius Randle, it really puts them at a supreme disadvantage. And like, that's why the Knicks players are playing so many minutes, is because they're not good enough to get their best players are not good enough to rest. And if they do, they'll lose. It's very evident because they got to play all these minutes and they still barely winning most of these games. So, you know, I look for the next game to have one of the others from Philadelphia finally have a good game. I think Kelly Oubre has actually been phenomenal in this series. He's had a few bad defensive lapses, but he's been phenomenal. As Charles Barkley mentioned on Inside the NBA, campaign has been phenomenal in small bursts. Kyle Lowry actually been tweaking for about three or four games. He's been tweaking like Jontay Porter looking kind of tweaking. But I just think Kyle is so old now. He's just going to give you one – he's going to give you one really, really solid game out of every three. And then the other two games are just going to be good enough for him to stay on the floor because he can defend and allow a guy like Maxey to get a little bit of a rest and allow them to run that two-guard lineup, which they like to do and they've been liking to do since Pat Bev was there. So I honestly think this series is over. I think the momentum is just too heavy. Like, they lost. Like, if they would have won that game, New York City – tonight,
up right now.
Gee, it would have been a million people in the streets acting like they won a championship.
Yeah,
it would have been bedlam in New York. They think them college campus protests is bad. Yeah, let the Knicks would have won today. Gee, it would have been. Yeah. They thought Kai Cenat having all them teenagers running through New York was bad. Let them have beat Philly. The New York State, from their official government Twitter account, tweeted them Kendrick lyrics saying, "I hate the way you stand. I hate the way you look." Like, they tweeted the video about Joel Embiid in response to the New York article where he said he was the most hated man in New York. Like, gee, the government is tweeting how much they want them to beat them. Gee, it would have been bedlam. So I just think that if I'm Philly and I'm Embiid and I'm Maxey, I just go to all of them guys and say, "Look, like, if you all play anywhere near good, we gonna win this easily. We're gonna go back to New York, and then me and the big fella gonna handle it, or me and the little fella gonna handle it. But we need y'all the next game when we at home. Let's blow them out. Like, we got their momentum. Let's completely blow them out of the water next time we play, and then go to New York. They gonna be demoralized. We're gonna go in there. We're gonna take care of business, get the crowd out of it earlier, and we're gonna win this series." I honestly thought that Philly should have won. Philly should have already won this series in my eyes.
Philly should have won.
The referees have been cheating them the whole series, because as anybody that's a basketball fan watching this, if you know anything about basketball, about the Knicks, one of the most historic franchises in the NBA, you want to see the Knicks be good. The Knicks being good is good for the NBA. So, to me, that's my perspective on that. You want to move on and you want to talk about your guy? Because I don't believe you were here when we talked about what's next for LeBron. Kerry Champion tweeted earlier, I believe this morning, yesterday morning, before the Lakers got gentlemen swept, that was LeBron's last game as a Laker. What are your thoughts on the Lakers, LeBron? What do you think is next for your wash goat?
What's next is year 22, unless he's going to retire, which I don't think he's going to retire. Like, where are you realistically going to go?
He should.
The thing about that is, like, I think he's still...
He wanna have a dick riding fest for him, for himself.
He deserves it, though. He deserves it. He deserves it. Like, players.
With no disrespect, but you not Kobe.
Yes, he is. Players that great deserve to be commended on their way out. It happened to Jordan. It happened to Kareem. It happened to Dr. J. Kobe did it. Like, he deserves to have, for what he's done to the league, he deserves to have a farewell tour, should he so choose to have a...
He deserves to retire and go to the big three.
Relax. Anyway, what's next?
Relax. Telling me you wouldn't watch LeBron in the big three? You lying.
No, when Bron's done playing, just stop playing, bro. I don't want to see LeBron.
Go to the big three, G. That would be fire. Bron will be booming on all them, booming on their ass.
But what's next for Bron? I mean, whatever Bron wants to be next for him. At this point, like, I can't really see a world in which he, okay, like, let's say he doesn't play for the Lakers. What team is he gonna play on? And then also, like, I don't think that this loss to the Nuggets was that bad. Like, they were in every game. You lost to the defending champions. Ain't like you went out there and just got worked up. Jamal Murray hit basically two game winners. Every game was pretty much close. You had a lead in most of the games. Like, it wasn't terrible. I think if they would have played any other team outside of that team, they still would probably be playing basketball right now. But
that's LeBron's fault. He should have faked like his little ankle was hurt or whatever and sat out that damn play-in game.
No, you can't do that. No, and the reason why you can't do that is because the Lakers have struggled with the Kings all year. So you put yourself in a situation, especially with they've struggled with the Kings all year. They already been having injuries. You don't want fucking AD got a stinger in his shoulder and the man shit couldn't move the last 4 minutes of the damn game. Can you imagine if that happens in the play-in game and you end up missing the playoffs completely? So again, whatever is next for LeBron, I mean, whatever he wants to be next for him, I don't really see a place where could he go? You can go to Philly. Like, where you gonna go? You can go back to Cleveland. Where you going?
By the way, Bron and KD joining the Warriors just to lose in the first round again would be hilarious, because that's exactly what would happen. They will fuck around and play the Timberwolves and get their ass worked up in the first round, because Jaden McDaniels next year, I think, is going to be a guy that's going to give you 18 tonight, but in his sleep. I think he finally got the confidence he needed this year to just shoot the ball when he needs to. But, and with that being said about LeBron and the loss, obviously everyone wants to pin Darvin Ham to a cross and crucify him at this point in time. What are your thoughts? Darvin Ham, two seasons, Western Conference Finals last year, lost to the eventual champion this year, maybe might lose to the eventual champion. What are your thoughts on Darvin Ham's job this year? LeBron was screaming and crying like a baby because he wanted to a timeout review. D'Lo on the sideline, fake rolling blunts. What do you think about Darvin Ham and his job that he did this year as a Lakers coach?
I mean, what do you want Darvin Ham to do? Number one, Gabe Vincent was hurt half the year. You bring him in on a deal. He didn't start playing till the end of the playoffs. Jared Vanderbilt was hurt. Like, I don't know what you want. Like, granted, do I think Darvin Ham may be the best X's and O's guy? Not necessarily, but he's not. Like, bro, you went West Conference Finals first year, and then should you lose to the Nuggets. I can see if you would have came out there and laid an egg against, I don't know, let's say the Kings make the playoffs and you get ran amok by the Kings for like seven games or for like four games. I feel you, but I don't really understand what we want Darvin Ham to do. Also, and if you want to even go back deeper than this, like y'all was the one who fired Frank Vogel. Why did you fire a championship winning coach? And well,
yeah,
no,
after y'all changed the whole roster.
Yeah, after y'all changed the whole roster. Like, you know, Frank Vogel is a defensive coach from fucking the time that he stepped in, that we first realized who he was for real in Indiana. To even the Orlando stop, he's been a defensive coach. Why the hell did you get rid of all the defensive players and put a whole bunch of offensive players on there who old and then get mad at him and fire him? And then you change the whole team after you just win the championship. What the fuck? So he don't have to be coaching in the first place. Frank Vogel could still be over here. But I don't think Darvin Ham, that you lost to the Denver Nuggets and two game winners got hit. So realistically, the series could have been, you could still be playing right now. So, no, I don't think Darvin Ham is to blame. Granted, may he be the best X's and O's guy. I don't know. But, no, I don't think Darvin Ham is the unblame. And also, you're playing. And then also, if the Lakers were in the Eastern Conference, I know we do this with the East and West every year, but if the Lakers were in the Eastern Conference, they would have been like, what, the fourth seed?
Why LeBron always got to get some if he was in another?
LeBron was born
in 65
My point in saying that is to say,
oh, this Knicks game re-airing. I'll probably rewatch that shit front to back.
My point in saying that is to say that, no, I don't think he's to blame. I think they had a good season. When you look at the Western Conference and the talent that's in the West, also with the injuries that they did have this season, and when you add all that into the fact that they lost to the Denver Nuggets, everybody needs to share blame because you lost, but does that mean he should lose his job? I don't think so.
Hell yeah, he need to get his – it's time.
Who else you going to get? You can't keep firing coaches.
They don't go hire LeBron podcast, buddy, and then they can make podcasts in between games.
JJ Reddit?
Who else is his podcast, buddy?
He going to be yelling at JJ Reddit halfway through the goddamn season. Like what? So again,
that's your man's. That's not my man's. That's your man's.
So again,
I've been telling y'all he watched for 8 years. Y'all just didn't believe
it. He ain't been watched for 8 years.
He has been. He's been slowly getting more and more washed. He like my old Captain America shirt that I had since I worked at Old Navy in 2008.
Man's the one two championships in time. We talking about the man.
I'd have had a lot of fun in that shirt too. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean that shirt ain't old and washed.
Regardless,
I had a lot of fun in that shirt.
Still, regardless though, like
For real, LeBron is like an old T-shirt at this point. G, it's time to hang it up. G,
it ain't time to
hang it up or fold it up. Announce this retirement tour, and let's just get this over with, bro. Like it's not his league no more.
Yeah, but that don't mean it's time to hang it up. Granted, the man can still play basketball. The man
it is. I was talking to the homie Steph about it. I was like, at this point, honestly, he's kind of ruining his legacy the further he goes.
Not really.
He is, because he will never eclipse what he was when he was his best. And at this point, his best form was about 12 years ago. He spanned at this point in time about four NBA generations. At a certain point in time, you're being selfish. I want to give mad props to Candace Parker, because Candace Parker did the most selfless thing she could have did in the world. She retired. Because she should have retired like 3 or 4 years ago. Even when she won Defensive Player of the Year, I didn't think she deserved it. I didn't even think she was that great that year. But she was an all-time great. No, she wasn't. She went in the playoffs and got benched. Fuck out of here.
That don't mean that she wasn't good in the regular season. It's a regular season.
I don't want to hear that. She got cooked by the MVP and got benched.
It's a regular season award.
All that's rah-rah. She got cooked by the MVP and got benched. You the defensive player of the year, one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game of basketball, regardless of gender. Period. It was time. It's been time for Candace Parker to retire. She was holding up a spot for another young woman that can go in there and do something with their life and their career. At this point, LeBron is literally just the old man that's still at the club. LeBron is dead ass the old man still at the club.
I can't let you get away with this.
LeBron is the 55-year-old still at the club.
With all due respect.
Take your old ass home.
With all due respect to Candace Parker.
Take your old ass home.
LeBron James has a lot more left in the tank than what Candace Parker had the past couple of years. With all due respect to Candace. Now. If you want to talk about somebody
barely
holding the spot, Diana Taurasi holding up spot.
She the same as LeBron to me.
No, she's not. LeBron No. LeBron James still gave you.
He's sticking around for mediocrity. That's what
LeBron
he's sticking around
James
for. To barely win 46 games a year.
LeBron
to
James
to whine
still
and throw tantrums.
7-7.
To jump and scare fans. Like,
LeBron
come on.
It's
getting comical, G.
LeBron James still gave you 25-7-7. He's still a top 25 player in the league. Is he once what he used to be? No. But again, the Lakers,
LeBron is not a top 15 player anymore. Y'all have to stop with this.
I said top 25 player.
He been sliding down the ladder for literally 5 years.
I said top 25 player. For what he said, I said top 25 player. He's still good. He still can contribute to winning basketball.
Still a really, top 20
honestly,
player.
Really, 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 honestly, the issue is if we
LeBron
want to be
is the system,
no,
that's
no, no,
the
no,
issue.
No, no. If we want to be real, if LeBron is for real serious about wanting to win another championship, take less money. Take less money. If you are serious about wanting to win a championship, just take less money. So the team can build more around you. You know, they can put you can like go out and get those. Right now they got minimum guys. You can go out and get the guys who are above that guy. If you take 40 million and not the full max, take less money. That's what he should really do. Take less money. If you are really serious about winning basketball games, you need to take less money, especially with you getting older. Take less money. In my opinion.
I'm not upset at that, but I don't really think it matters. He could take all the less money he wants. He is incapable of playing within a system. And the reason why they lost to the Nuggets was because LeBron is incapable of playing in a system. And only time he was playing in a system, he won consistently, but he didn't like being confined to the rules of that system and to the rules of the system outside of the system, which is the Miami Heat and that Heat culture that they have.
He left at the right time.
No, he didn't.
Yes, the fuck
he didn't.
He did.
No,
Chris Bosh got sick after that, and D Wade fell off a cliff.
Which means his money comes off the book, G. So go get somebody else. When nobody gonna want to go play with LeBron and D Wade? When nobody gonna want to go play with LeBron and D Wade?
I don't know.
All right, man. Fuck out of here.
Who came up?
You do good.
Cleveland was actually, but you had a young Kyrie. You also had the number one pick who you could trade. Cleveland was actually a better situation at that point in time. It actually was a better situation.
You want to know why it wasn't?
Why?
He only won one.
They went to four straight finals and he won one.
Okay, he won more with the other guys.
Again.
And honestly, had he not choked and got
they won three.
Hold by J.J. Barea.
They would have won three.
That's your man's. That's your man's. Sure. That's your man's.
They could have three-peated for sure.
That's your man's. But let's move on. Let's talk about the Clippers. We had a very passionate argument about this last happy hour. I feel like I look even more like a genius.
I agree with you.
With Kawhi Leonard. No, you didn't. But
yes,
okay.
I say he needs to take a back seat.
There's no back seat, brother.
He's still
two people when healthy arguably a top five player in the NBA. There's no backseat that he's taking to James fucking Harden.
There's a backseat. The reason why I say he needs to.
And also, my thing wasn't about him taking the backseat. It was that they offense don't move the same with him in there on the floor because the spacing is bad.
No,
you can see the improvement in the spacing when he's not on the floor.
No, it's because he's gobbling up possessions trying to fucking post. And you not healthy. So now Luka can fucking guard you because you not healthy and your burst ain't the damn same. But you just got to go out there and like at least get 15 possessions because you're Kawhi Leonard. It's like, do I think they're better without Kawhi? Obviously, like for this series, probably yes. Reason being is
better without a hobble Kawhi. Yes.
Yes.
Better without him, period. If he's healthy.
Hell no. No, but better with,
because we saw what they could do when he was healthy, when they won what 14 in a row or something like that. So we've seen flashes of what they can do. I still believe even when they won 14 in a row, like I've said, been saying the whole season, they got to prove it. They really have to prove themselves to me. I still don't think they're gonna win this series. I think that they were. It's so funny because like every time I want to give Jason Kidd credit, he just fuck it up. Like they make that comeback, they mount that comeback, they're playing amazingly, and then in the fourth quarter, Tyronn Lue just pick and rolls you, switch you on. Let's get there, get in the middle, in the mid range, and kill them. And there was no adjustment. There was, yo, maybe we need to stop dropping all our big men down and y'all need to play up a little bit closer to the elbow so that way we could defend. He hit six floaters. He hit six floaters in 8 minutes.
In a row.
Like, it's ridiculous, bro. Not adjust for that time after time after time? And I understand the switches that was going on. But beyond the switches, you weren't even trapping him out of the pick and roll to force the ball out of his hand. PG had 5 points before he hit that three. In the second half, after having 20, no. That three saved his legacy and Tyronn Lue job. Because if they would have lost that game, they would have been going home tomorrow night, and Ty fucking Lue would have been taking his ass to another motherfucking team after the season. Because somebody got to go, somebody got to be the scapegoat, and his name is written all over it. Am I wrong?
I don't disagree.
So like for me, like I don't think they're a better team without a healthy Kawhi, but definitely without a hobble Kawhi. And to me, like, I don't really think they need him until they play the Nuggets. If they play the Nuggets, if they play the Timberwolves, I don't think they need him. I think they can do everything but win the finals without him.
I think that
I think that the Timberwolves are going to knock off the Nuggets.
Not wrong.
I think they're going to lock them off in some kind of stunning fashion, like five or six, and we're going to be like, yo, what the fuck
just happened? I'm not going to be like, what the fuck just happened? Have you seen the way the motherfuckers playing defense? I ain't never seen those Slaters before. Have you seen them guard people?
No. They've been playing lights out, but for them to go past what they've been historically over the past couple years, just being so stupid at the end of games and just blown so many playoff and late games over the past three seasons, to actually see them go out and finish a series and finish those guys. Like, there wasn't no see you later. There weren't no, I got you game five. Like, nah, it was.
Now they beat the hell out of them.
It was, we already got the anaconda in a trap. Now it's time to take his head off. And they went clean in for the kill. Yeah, it was euphoria for Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, they beat the hell out of them. But then that's the other thing about Kawhi. It's like, how do you incorporate him in the middle of playoff series? Like, how do you get him up to game speed and the playoff speed in the middle of the playoffs? Like, granted, obviously, like,
but this is my thing. Like, I don't always believe that the star player that's hurt needs to come back and instantly get back into his normal role. I think a Kawhi Leonard off the bench and you running a Kawhi Norm Powell second unit, where even if Kawhi playing 20 minutes a game, you can get Harden a rest. You can keep the firepower going. You're not messing up the normal rotations. And even with guys like Plumlee and Tice off the bench, you could just tell Kawhi, like, if he's healthy enough, just when you come in, you run pick and roll. If you're not running pick and roll, Norm score, rush, bring the energy, and leave it the way it is. Because to me, the Clippers arguably have two starting five lineups, like, that would be a playoff team in the league. Like, I think the starting lineup with PG, Harden, T-Man, Zoo, and Amir Coffey could make the playoffs in either league, East or West. And I think a starting lineup of Kawhi, Norm Powell, Mason Plumlee, Russ, and put him with someone else could make the playoffs. So, like, I think they have two playoff lineups. I don't think you need to force Kawhi Leonard to be Kawhi Leonard. I just think you, at the minimum, need him, even if not for anything else other than I still don't trust Paul George. And I've been on the internet, and I've made it very clear that I don't trust these Clippers. So if one of them see me in person and be like, yo, I saw what you tweeted, and you going to prove me wrong? When you prove me wrong, then we can have this conversation. But until then, I don't want to talk to them about nothing. They still going to clip. How you almost clip away a 30-point lead. No.
Okay, but the thing about 30-point lead, 30-point lead was a little bit fool in the first place. Like, they were shooting like 70% on threes. You're not going to shoot 70% on threes for the whole damn game. Like, that was a little bit fool's gold in the first place. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think that with a hobble Kawhi, they're better off, like, doing something different. Because it just wasn't – they definitely looked better yesterday when he wasn't out there, for sure. So, I'm with you on that.
Yep. So let's go ahead. Let's move on. Let's talk about it. What's next for the Phoenix Bums? I mean, Suns.
No. Here go. What's next? They gonna take all them goddamn. Gee. Bradley Beal has a no trade clause. Do you know this?
He got $57 million due to him next year.
No trade clause. He has a no trade clause in his contract. You know what's next for them? Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal gonna walk their ass back on that court with Nurkic and Grayson Allen. And Nasir Little, and we're gonna do it again. Unless they wanna trade Kevin Durant, unless KD asks for a trade. But at some point,
why does KD always gotta be the one to get traded? Trade Devin Booker, G. It's been long enough, bro.
I'm not even
mad at them New York rumors, bro. It's time for a new change of scenery for that man.
Nah, I'm not okay.
Send him to the Magic or some shit. I'm dead ass. Send him to the Magic for like Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz.
The reason why I'm not mad at
I'm not joking when I say what I just said either, because the Suns need a point guard, and Jonathan Isaac next to Kevin Durant would allow Kevin Durant to play the three, which even if you watch all these analysts and pre and post game inside ESPN, they've been talking about how, you know, if KD gonna play the four, you're not gonna win because you're not. Like, that gives them a real and he has not made the fucking second round. I'm sorry, he has not made the conference final since 2019. Stop.
I was gonna say he played it in Golden State sometimes. He played
fucking half a decade ago. I wasn't a father when Kevin Durant was playing that way.
But no, but also I think the problem with also Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant still wants to play like he's in year 8. And he's in year 16. Your first step is nowhere near what he.
If he was in year 8, he wouldn't be playing the 4, though. That's what I'm saying.
Because he was faster. You're not as fucking fast no more. You should probably be close to the rim. But you still want to fucking dribble all damn. Like, bro.
I disagree with that. What does he need to be at the rim for?
No, not at the rim. I just think that I said this a couple years ago because his first step isn't the same as it once was. I think Kevin Durant should watch all the footage. That's funny. It's no.
Boy, if I was Desmond Bane need to come find you and fight you.
Seriously.
That's who getting traded for. And if I'm the Grizzlies, what the fuck do I want Devin Booker for? I got Desmond Bane already, G.
No,
and he young. No. Look. Oh, I mean, yeah. What would I want? Yeah, that's even worse, G. I'm thinking to my Devin Booker. Yeah, go ahead.
But no, I think that Kevin Durant should watch a lot of Dirk footage. And the same shit Dirk was doing in 2011, you do. I think one of the issues is his play style. Granted, remember a couple years ago when the Nuggets got swept and we saw Al Horford strapping up KD? That's when I was like, this is not good. This is not okay. This is not okay. I should not be looking at this the way I'm looking at this right now. This is not okay. But what's next for the Suns, bro? Like, literally, unless they're going to trade one of those guys, and I'm assuming it would be KD or Book, because ain't nobody trading for Bradley Beal, and he has a no-trade clause anyway. So we can just say, I don't want to go there. Fight me. I'm just going to come back. Unless they're going to trade one of those guys, they're going to run it back and do the same thing. Like, I don't really – granted, kudos to the owner for trying to win. kudos to him for trying to win. You buy a team, you see Kevin Durant is out there. Like, if you got a chance to go get Kevin Durant, and I don't want to say all you had to give up because they did literally
KD's
give
KD's so weak, G. Why you got to go to a new fucking team every year?
Because they did give every single pick they had, and they gave up two young assets. But in reality, you gave up Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, like, for Kevin Durant. I think most people would do that at a heartbeat anytime.
I mean, they both ended up in the same place with no playoff wins. Both ended up with zero playoff wins.
But the Nets didn't even make
it. Some of them just got to go to the goddamn vacation earlier, but they both still ended up there. They might not have went to Galveston, like Chuck said, but they ended up in somewhere by some water.
Galveston is so damn funny. But yeah, bro, I think they don't really, especially with the way the second apron is working next year, they're really restricted from even making moves like that. I mean, maybe you try to get a point guard on like a minimum or something like that, but I don't really, there's no moves that they can seriously make to make this team much better outside of just you hope that, granted.
I got a guy for him.
Real quick. Nope, yeah, but even see, you going to do this and like you might not be able to make this trade because like the way the second apron is. I think like
I ain't even talking about a trade.
No, but
just real go quick, get Russ when the Clippers let him go this summer.
I don't think they can't pay him. He Russ would probably at least get $10 million. They don't have $10 million. They can't use their mid-level exception to see. That's the problem. Like, there's no real. You would have to literally either trade one of these guys, get assets, or you have to fill it up with minimum players. Or, like I said, Beal was hurt a lot this year. KD was hurt at times. Booker was hurt. Maybe you hope that, you know, your second year being together, these guys can get more continuity and you get better by just the fact that you played together longer. Or something like that. But there's really no other way to get better. So what's next for the Suns is the same shit they've been doing. They're going to run it back and hope they play a different team and hope that the results are a little bit better because they have continuity now. But Frank Vogel would probably get fired, probably, even though, like, bro,
Frank Vogel, the biggest scapeapegoat in history,
why
bro.
Why did he do it to Frank?
Like, the Lakers literally, G, and you literally give him all offensive players.
You gave him Melo.
You the Lakers, G. You won a championship, G. And then you got rid of all the big men and the rebounder. You let KCP go. And then you want to blame him because y'all can't stop a nosebleed no more. Grab a rebound, G. It's about 80 out there alone. Yes, you let him be out there alone, G.
You did that. You have all four bids. You had the white fucking
hour. Like Fabulous says, somebody did this. Somebody, and it was the front office. That was who did it, all right?
You had the white Howard on the team, future Hall of Famer, and you went to Montrezl Harrell.
Now, King Cash, this is the first good idea you've had all fucking podcast up. KD and Kobe. KD, Kobe White, and DeMar, we going to the championship.
No, you went in 45 games.
No, we not. We going to the championship.
And who the fuck they going to take back? Zach LaVine? No. That's a disaster. No.
Yeah, no. Put the two light-skinned bros together. No. Get you the new Splash Bros.
You're not terrible of a team. You're going to have Devin Booker, Bradley.
Kendrick Lamar would not be a fan of that team.
Kendrick Lamar would not fuck with that team. But yeah, man, the Suns, I don't know. I do think that they lost in a very embarrassing way, though. Like, you wasn't supposed to lose like that, though. You could lose a series, but not like that, though, G.
It's when it's your time, it's your time. Just like these young cats. Cavs versus Magic. What started out as an extremely boring series, the past three games has been very exciting, even though game four was a blowout. But game five was great. Cavs pulled it together. Amazing block by Evan Mobley at the end of the game on Franz Wagner to seal the win for the Cavs. I have an issue with the Magic, and people aren't going to agree with this. But Franz and Paolo can't play together.
I don't hate that.
And they can't play together because
Franz can't shoot.
No, because they're both equally as good as each other, but they do different things, but they both need the ball in similar spots to get to where they need to go. And therefore, like, there's no real like room or chemistry on the floor for them. Because, like, it's like you take it, I take it, you take it. That's part of my problem with the Clippers and why we've been talking about the Clippers need a point guard. I still think the Magic actually need a real point guard, like a distributor. But, you know, I do like this team. But for me, I think Jamal Mosley gonna have to choose who's gonna be the guy.
You're picking Paolo. You're picking Paolo.
Or is it gonna be Franz?
You're picking Paolo.
The numbers say Franz, though.
What numbers say Franz?
Franz, what you mean? He averaged like 21-9. He was playing. He played great this year.
You know, he didn't average 20. And Paolo been an all star. Well, I don't think it was 21-9. Paolo averaged like 23-24. It is not a single.
He averaged. Victory. Oh, okay, okay. No, he averaged 19-5. Never mind. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Paolo was at 22. I'm with you. I think that having both of those on the court is still kind of overkill. I think that probably you need a point guard, and I think that that is a team that I would offer Klay Thompson some money. I think that that team could really, 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 really use some shooting or just somebody just space the floor.
He coming off the bench?
No, he can start.
I mean, they do have enough defense. You got Isaac back there. Isaac back there. You got Suggs. Kyle played decent. Even the Wagner brothers, they play defense. Mo dirty as he's as dirty as Embiid, but I fuck with Mo Wagner.
Yeah,
but who you got to win game six in the series?
I think this series could go seven because even though this is a series where, if I'm not mistaken, the home team has won every single game in this series. Mm-hmm. So I think that this series can go seven, and then probably for the sake of Cleveland, I think Cleveland pulls it out, because if Cleveland loses this series, Mitchell probably gone. The coach, I forget his name, Bickerstaff, he's probably gone. Even you might even have to look at a Jared Allen thing. I think that the Sixers offense can look a little bit better without one of Allen or Mobley being there. So maybe you
the
look
Sixers
at
or the Cavaliers.
Cavaliers. So maybe you look at exploring, you know,
if Jared Allen wind up on the Sixers next year, I'm gonna be like, damn, Pavi got some shit, bro.
So maybe
why do y'all want Trae Young on the Lakers, G? It helps nothing.
It helps nothing.
G, y'all, nothing, you gotta stop somebody. He's stopping Jamal Murray, G.
It helps nothing at all. I mean,
AD was guarding Jamal Murray. He couldn't stop Jamal Murray. Hand in the face. It didn't matter.
That doesn't solve anything. But yeah, I think this series goes seven. And yes, but for the Magic, I think that you just happy that they're in the playoffs and actually competing, and you seeing like what this team could possibly be 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And like I said, like I thought Paolo in the fourth, he was good. I just thought that some of the shots he took down the stretch probably weren't the best. But also, Atlanta was another team, kind of like the Knicks. They weren't really running the offense. They were just giving the ball to Paolo and being like, all right, bro, we'll see what happens. Like, you have to actually run something. But, again, I think some of that stems from probably not having a lead guard and also not having a level of shooting around that you need to have around Paolo to just even open up the floor for them.
Yep. So, moving on. Can the Bucks pull off the impossible and beat the Pacers without Dame, Lillard, and Giannis? Now, I want to start this off by saying I've given him a lot of shit on this podcast for his entire career because he usually plays like a ton of mid. That's why I call him his name properly, not like Skip Bayless, just Chris Mid Old Ton. But he has been playing – he's kind of a – I don't know. Something about his story just makes me a little sad. Because like you see the flashes of what he can be when he has the opportunity to have the ball in his hands. But even with Giannis there, like he's never gonna get the opportunity. Like I feel like we've had an argument about this before on a podcast when we was talking about if he could be a number one guy or if he could do that. And I was like, I don't think. I mean, they might not make the playoffs if he's number one guy, but I think he could be the number one guy and get you 24, 25 a night. And yeah. I think he's showing that, and he's showing that he can. Do that, but not just based off of like you know who's on his team, but his ability to be able to create in the mid range and shoot threes at a high rate. And I give him a lot of kudos. I don't know if the Bucks will be able to pull it off. I think the Pacers are young enough and dumb enough to lose. But I just don't think Rick Carlisle is going to get out-adjusted in the next game, especially when Pascal Siakam didn't have the game this game that he pretty much has had the entire series. So that meant that Doc did a good job of neutralizing him versus the first couple of games. And Rick Carlisle has to find another way to get the ball in Pascal Siakam's hands and allow him to create and be able to get to the rim and create fouls. I think that the Bucks' big thing ever since Giannis and Dame got hurt is like, we just going to be as physical as possible, get a ball to Middleton, shoot that bitch, Chris, and we going to move the ball, and if we make our threes and play defense, we'll win. And that's like a Mike Budenholzer team, if I've ever seen one, right? Am I wrong? That's what, you know what I mean? So, like, the core of what Mike is, like, they should have just kept Mike.
They should have kept Mike Budenholzer.
I was happy when they fired Mike G, but they should have kept Mike G. That was Giannis' fault. Giannis wanted that, but they should have kept Mike G. At the end of the day, Mike actually was the proper coach for them.
Even though
he had his own shortcomings, he still was the best man for that job. And I will say this, and then I'll let you talk. I give Doc Rivers a round of applause too, because the one thing that I will say is I don't think Doc does a great job at coaching stars. I think he does a great job of coaching a star and a bunch of good role players, because they actually will buy into the shit he's saying, versus like a bunch of stars, the chemistry just never seems to work right with him. Even when you look at what happened in LA, that chemistry was never really what he wanted it to be, even down to when he got fired. I think if PG and Kawhi would have stood up for him, he wouldn't have got fired. But it was clear that they needed a change, because his, you know what I mean? So I give him a round of applause for them still being competitive. And I think I don't know who to pick. I'm going to still go with the Bucks because I picked them before the series, and I'm going to stick with my pick. But the injuries are unfortunate. But I will say I'm going to give Doc and Middleton some credit. And if they lose, I don't think they can hang their head based on the circumstances. Obviously, the regular season was bad. But if I'm the front office, next year we got to lock in, because there's no injury excuses next year. And even if we want to crucify Doc for being terrible, which he was this year, they still did get hurt. Like, both of y'all, you know what's also crazy? Why is it that Dame, KP, and Giannis Achilles all got the same Achilles injury? You don't think that's odd?
Well,
I'm done talking. Go ahead.
No, KP and Giannis have calf injuries, and Dame has a strained Achilles. Mm-hmm. But, probably just wear and tear. Like, guys playing a lot of games, running up and down the court, wear and tear. I mean, Giannis.
Klay could have been a number one option before he tore all of his fucking ligaments in his leg. I'm sorry. Respond to the fans. Go ahead.
Can they pull off the impossible? I guess they can. I know I saw a report where Doc said Dame and – I don't know how the fuck Dame is getting close to playing again. That don't even make sense. But he said Dame and Giannis are getting close to playing again. So, I mean, if Giannis can come back in game six, I mean, again, I think that, you know, incorporating somebody back into, you know, a series, mid-series, can be difficult, especially when they haven't played in 2-3 weeks, especially playing the Pacers, who play a very up-tempo style. But I think if he comes in and shows up, I think you got to give him a shot. I don't think Patrick Beverley will, who played incredible today, I don't think Patrick Beverley will have a double-double again. The man was literally looking like John Stockton half the time out there running the pick and roll with Bobby P. I don't think he'll have a double-double again. But I think if Giannis, I'm thinking looking at Giannis more so than Dame. I think if Giannis could come in and play, I mean, why not? I mean, and then you get it back to game seven. It's game seven in Milwaukee. Anything can happen. But yes, I'm with you. I think this Bucks season has just been very unfortunate. I think it's been a lot of drama. And also, I think that the Bucks can probably stand to the Bucks are having an issue where, like, they have two rosters. I think they're in a transitional period as to where they need to get younger. They need to get more athletic. You know what I'm saying? I think Brook Lopez has been there for a while, but Brook Lopez at this point is 36 years old, if I'm not mistaken. You know, so they have a very old roster. I think they could stand to get younger and just switch the pieces up a little bit to try to make like their next run. Because I still think I think these are the pieces from the old team. You were a bit more defensive oriented, and then you switched over to being a little bit more offensive oriented because you felt that offense was what was losing you these games in the playoffs. Even though, like I said a million times, the last time they were healthy, they did win the championship. They won the championship. Then somebody got hurt every single year, and you decided to switch the whole team up. But whatever. But yeah, sure. I mean, I think if Giannis is able to go, I think that's a huge variable, And sure, why not? I think they can at least get this to game seven.
What do you think about the fans' comments that KD came back early from his injury? He did. They worry about that.
He did. Like, anytime you're dealing with calf injuries, you have to be cautious because the next thing, it is connected to the Achilles. And again, Giannis is a guy. Giannis has played a lot of basketball. You know, he can't afford to tear his Achilles. Dame definitely can't either. Dame is a small guard who's 33 years old. You need to be careful. One of them, both of those guys, if they have a major lower extremity injury, would greatly change the course of their careers. So you got to be careful with it. And again, it's like a situation where, okay, you know what? We lose this year. That's fine. We think that with Dame, we got at least a 2-year window. You know, you think that, you know, hey, you know, Dame isn't getting any younger, but you think, okay, you know what? Maybe at least for the next 2 years, if I got Dame on my team, we got a chance. So, you know, even if you do lose, you got to like sit those guys out. You like go in the offseason, look at the roster, assess what you need, and you go out and you try to go get that and for real make a run at it next year.
Yeah, I agree. So let's move on. Second last topic. Will the Celtics finish off the Heat?
They should. You know, I know KP not being there is definitely a thing that you have to manage. But I mean, they should. They just have the better team. Like, shout out the Heat. They try hard. They play good. But even when they won that game, they hit a franchise record in threes. Like, bro, if you're gonna tell me you're gonna hit a franchise record in playoff threes every night, well, we probably gonna lose. But the problem is, you probably not gonna do that every night. And they did that, and they still won by like 5 points. Like, man to man, Boston just has a better team. And granted, yes, I know Porzingis going down with the injury sucks. But for this Boston squad, now Boston's team were like, yo, it's time to win. There's no more excuses. No more excuses. You got about everything you need on that roster. There's no more excuses. It's time to win. So, yes, you need to finish this series off tomorrow night. Go in there and get some rest and wait on. Who would they be playing? The winner of Magic Cavs?
Yes.
Yeah, you need to go. You know, Magic Cavs probably going to drag on. I'm assuming it will drag on at least 4 to 5 more days, maybe. Go get you some rest. You know, make sure KP can start to heal and get ready for that series. But they should finish off. I don't really see a reason as to why they shouldn't.
Yeah, I think they will get it done. I just think that for the Heat, they accomplished their mission, and that's to never give up. Like, they're very clearly against the odds. You don't have your superstar who has led you to 2 finals. Who's your starting point guard. So to me, I think they have every excuse. They had every excuse in the book to give up. They didn't give up. I commend them for their performance this year. I think they can come back next year, especially given they'll have a full season and make another run. I think this year was really tough for them because I wouldn't say that they didn't have an identity. I would just say that I believe that Tyler Hero has to go because he helps create a real conflict with that identity. Even with a guy like Terry Rozier, like, he's not a guy that's going to play a ton of defense, but he knows his role, and that's his role is to score and to be in the lanes and create chaos. And for me, like, Tyler Hero's game is good, but not good enough to what we're seeing Chris Middleton do, Tyler Hero should be doing in Jimmy Butler's absence, and I don't see that. So I think it's time to move on.
Chris Middleton.
Yeah, but also I just don't think he's a real number 3 option. I think Terry's very clearly a role player 4+ option, but with Hero as your number 3 option, I don't think he really fits. So he's a guy that I actually wouldn't mind seeing go to Orlando. I think that would be good for them.
See, we have been trading everybody to Orlando for at least a decade. we have been trading everybody.
I mean, but they actually have pieces that's worthy of getting traded to now. Yeah. And actually, they will derive some benefit from these trades we're talking about. I mean, obviously, you're not trading for Klay Thompson, but if he wants $5 million, $8 million a year, come through.
Come on, G. Come on, G. Clay can get more than $8 million, G. Why you put Clay? But Clay,
it ain't no state taxes in Florida. He'll be alright. He pocketing way more money, bro. They be spending all money in California.
15, Clay got to get at least 15, bro. Clay can't get no $8 million stuff.
I'm gonna tell Clay. Hey, look, G. This $8 million gonna feel like 15 in California. All right.
Clay can get what you said. Clay can get $5 million, G. Clay don't need no be in love exception, bro. Clay can get 15 to 20, G.
All right, well, hey, that's your opinion. By the way, that's gonna be the next episode. Give Clay $5 million. I'm gonna put Clay head on Floyd Mayweather when he was in the back of the Phantom with the money in the briefcases.
It's Clay $5 to $8 million. Come on, G.
What you mean?
Come on, man. Clay can get more bread than that, dog. Max Strus got more money than that. Stop, bro. G, we not about to do this, bro. We not
this
about
year.
This,
this no, year.
We not about to do this, bro. Right. We not about to do this, G. No, we not about to do this, bro. I listen. I'll fuck with Max.
He averaged 12.2 points.
Come on, 41%. Like 18, bro. What we doing, bro? I know he not what he was, but come on, bro.
He gave you 17.9.
Come on, G. Come on, bro. He wasn't that bad, dog.
He shot better than him, G.
He just not what he was.
I'm sorry, Clay. It just hurts to see you like this, brother, man.
Clay, go get $5 million. Oh, that's funny as hell.
I'm sorry.
Yo, man, come on, dog.
I'm just saying.
Oh,
G.
My God.
Anyways, final topic as we get ready to get up out of here. Obviously, we go on. We cover the game tomorrow. Clippers versus Mavericks, game 5. The Mavericks travel to Los Angeles. What are your thoughts on that? Who you got? I can't hear you no more. Your mic cut out. Go ahead.
I'm going Clippers to win game 5 because I think they have to win game 5. If they don't win game 5, they will be at I think it'll come back to LA regardless. But I think the Clippers win game 5. I think they found something as far as with Harden in general. I think they're like unlocking Harden. I just think the Clippers win game 5. I think that, again, I think that they can look at the footage from the fourth quarter. I think that they're like, you know what, we can replicate that, even though I know that they won't shoot the way that they shot in the first half, but I still think winning that game and not blowing that lead was huge for them. So I'm going Clippers.
Yeah, I'm going Mavericks. I picked Mavericks in 5. The referees have been cheating. Nah, I'm lying. The referees ain't been cheating, but Luka has to play better. As he said, he's been letting Kyrie down, and I actually believe that he's been letting Kyrie down. He has to be better. Daniel Gafford has to be better because he wasn't even able to really stay on the floor in that late game stretch. And they had Maxi Kleber on the floor, which if he's not in the game, there's no real threat at the rim to block shots, which is why you get a bunch of James Harden mid-range floaters because he can make that shot over Maxi Kleber. So I'm going to take the Mavericks to win, fulfill the prophecy of beating the Clippers. But I want the Clippers to win because I want to continue to cover them. But they got to show me that they can do it. And until they do that, I won't believe them. But anyways, it's been Hoops and Brews. It's your boy TPJ. Pavy, any final words for the fans?
As always, man, follow me on Twitter at PavyWorld, PavyWorld, all one word. Go stream my music on Spotify, pavverbs.com. Go check that out.
Yep. And as always, man, it's your boy TPJ. Find me on Instagram at RealTPJ. It's been Hoops and Brews. Appreciate all of the fans. Shout out King Cash. I give you the fan of the day this episode because you did a great job. I actually enjoyed your comments, even though you was wilding. But actually, before we leave, he made one comment that I actually want to talk about real, real quick. Where is it at? He said, what if the Lakers got Mike Budenholzer?
Man, Bron ain't trying to run around no damn court playing no damn defense.
Well, oh well,
yeah, like fucking Mike Budenholzer, man. Man, look at that goddamn team. You think fucking Austin Reeves finna be out there? Man, hell no, nah, man, no, man, no. They gonna hire Phil Handy. They gonna hire Phil Handy and take Jared Dudley off the damn Mavericks coaching staff.
Shout out Phil Handy. I definitely had a conversation with him outside of Delilah. Shout out to Phil Handy, man. But anyways, man, it's Hoops and Brews. We'll get up with y'all later. Maybe later on this week. We'll see. Anyways, till next time, y'all. Peace out.